Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Help me to wait and not to fall. Help me to stay while you make me strong on top of the day. Brother says he's hungry. I know what that means. That means preach faster. That's all right. You don't have to spell it out for me. We're going to talk about loneliness. Now, I don't know a lot about being lonely because I'm charming. People want to hang out with me. So I don't struggle in this a lot, but I'm going to try and help y'all that aren't as charming as me. Let it sink in. Maybe pray about it. I don't know. Let's start at the beginning. I want to talk about what I think is the best cure for loneliness, dealing with loneliness, is being a cure for somebody else's loneliness. Amen? Amen. Let's look at what the Bible has to say right here. Hebrews 13, starting with the first verse in that chapter. He says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to welcome outsiders. See? He's talking about people outside of the faith. This is your first time in church. There's a reason why we welcomed you, because this Bible tells us that's what we're supposed to do. In fact, he says, by welcoming outsiders, some people have welcomed angels without even knowing it. Can you imagine that? An angel in disguise. And this angel could walk in here. We wouldn't even know it. So we got to behave right just in case, you know. You never know. Keep remembering those in prison. How about that? Do this as if you were together with them in prison. You know, some of us have spent time behind bars, and we know how lonely that feels, and nobody's putting money on our books, and we're by ourselves, and no one's come to see us. And remember those who are treated badly as if you yourselves were suffering. This Bible verse is telling us when you see other people lonely, when you see other people suffering and on their own, you put yourself in their shoes and you do what you would want somebody to do for you. I think if you do that, you're not going to be lonely because you're going to be with them. I think too often we get lonely. We get in that mindset of woe is me, poor me. I don't know if you can dig it, but I did some research because I backslid. You know, I've been trying to do this Jesus thing for a long, 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 long time. Okay. And I've backslid. I'd lost count around about 500 times. But I've been trying to slide forward as much as possible in between. Okay, here's what I found when I did a little investigation of what caused every single one of my backslides. So this is just me now. Was I started with poor me, poor woe is me, pitiful me. Nobody understands how bad I got it. Nobody cares. I'm all by myself. Need to smoke a bag of weed real bad right now. I know you understand, Jesus, and this is how we do it. You got to understand, God, because you see how bad I have it down here, and so I got to do what I got to do. But this feeling sorry for myself. Now, if somebody comes to me in the middle of that, it says, hey, let's go to church, man, with a lot of pretty girls in there, and everything's going to be fine there with the praise and sing the Lord and have fried chicken and everything. You know what I would have said? I would have said, no, probably don't want to see me down there. Probably wouldn't like a brother like me down there. Because I'm working the system here. You see my system? My system is, I feel bad for me that I can get weed at the end of this. Okay? That's my goal. You coming and curing my loneliness is messing up my goal. Don't fix my problem. You messing me up, you know. I gotta work twice as hard to feel bad for myself now that somebody's invited me somewhere, you know. You just doing that because you trying to get to heaven or something. I don't know, but I don't want to go down there, you know. I'll make up something, you know. See, the truth is, all that self-pity, that feeling sorry for myself and beating up on myself, that's not where it's at. I don't need that thing that I'm trying to get myself an excuse for. I'm a man. If I want to smoke a bag of weed, I'm just going to say, I'm going to smoke a bag of weed. If I'm going to fall off, I'm going to fall off. I would say, hey, that's it. You know, I've had enough. I'm just going to do whatever I want because I made the choice. I don't have to make it be like life made me do this. I don't have to be like, well, you know, this person passed away or this thing or I lost my job or whatever, whatever. I don't need an excuse. If I'm going to do something, I'll do it. I make the choice regardless of what the circumstances are, right? I'm a man. I make my own decisions. Nobody forces me to do, and life itself doesn't force me to do anything. So I want to take responsibility for my choices, and I know you do too. None of us likes to have that mentality of, they're just following along with whatever life goes or whatever everyone else does. That's the problem that I had in my life, you know. People would always come up to me and say, well, you know, because I would get in trouble, you know. And there's always somebody trying to tell you what to do when you're in trouble. There's a lot of experts come out of the woodwork to tell you what to do. I don't know if y'all ever heard of this before. It's okay to let me know if you've heard of this before, you know, but this is what I'm talking about. And what happens is they would say, now, Brother Glenn, you need to make better choices. And I would say to myself, well, I never really, the problem that you are missing here is I don't really make that many choices. You know, it's, hey, I have a bag of weed. Would you like to smoke it? Yes. It wasn't really a choice, was it? I mean, I said yes to the yes. I mean, I did make a choice, but it was really pretty much just weed came along. It could have been, you know, somebody could have said, hey, let's go roller skating and brought me some roller skates. I guess I'd be roller skating right now. I don't know. But I would just go along with whatever was happening. I had to make a different choice. I'm going to piggyback on what Pastor Starr was talking about. He was talking about going from this transformation, going from a caterpillar to a butterfly. See, some of you are in that process, and you are finding out it's hard now that you're a butterfly to crawl around on the ground with the caterpillars still. Maybe they judge you sometimes. Maybe they accuse you of judging them when it's really them judging you. Maybe that's hard, and that creates a little bit of loneliness. But the truth is, the people in that church, whatever church you end up in, the people in that church understand you unlike any other group of people you've ever hung out with. Here's the reason why. It's because it's the only place in the world where they're trying to do exactly what you're trying to do. When I go with my family, believe me, they have a lot of agendas of what they're trying to accomplish. None of them is the same as mine, and none of them have any chance of helping me even by accident. Okay, so they don't get what I'm on. I don't get what they're on. I still love them. I still hang with them, but we don't really click because we're on something else. I go to a job, you know, I'm working with other people. You know, we all, like, if you're lucky, you have a really terrible boss and everybody hates the boss, so you have that in common. You know, you could talk and share with other people. It's easy to make friends when you have a bad boss. Am I right with this boss? Am I right? You know, you don't even have to say what's wrong with him. You just say, you know, what the, did he tell you like that? You know, and then you wind each other up and get each other in trouble. But you're bonding. You have things in common. You know, if you have a good boss, you can't even get a good conversation going. Okay? But what I'm trying to tell you is when you get to church, all those people are going through the same temptations you are. Some of them front off like they're straighter than you are, but they're not. Believe me. If you follow them home, they're not straighter than you. Okay? They're dealing with the same temptations. They're dealing with angers and frustrations. They're dealing with the sexual things and money things. And they're dealing with all the same kind of stuff that you're dealing with. And everybody has had a tough week. Everybody is trying to stay on this Christian thing. And so when you go there, you have more in common with those people than any other group of people anywhere you've ever been. Truth is, I think all of us need to invest in the life of the church more. I think we need to be, you know, I got used to hanging out in the neighborhood or hanging out with my friends. Or we had a spot we might go to hang out in. But my Christianity, really, the root of it was the times I would spend in church when it wasn't church. You know, we might have a basketball league. We might have a you know, men's Bible study. We might have, you know, any kind of anything. And if there wasn't something going on, we'd say, hey, Pastor, we want to do this. Pastor, we want to do that. And we'd get something going just so we could be somewhere positive. We could be around positive people. And we could encourage each other. That's what these pastors are hoping that you come to their church and bring. Amen? Amen. See, the truth is, loneliness is about people who don't get you. And being in church is a place where they will get you. And let's close on this final verse. This is Psalm 27. I'm asking the Lord, and this is, by the way, this is the book of Psalms. I'm right in the middle of the Bible, and I'm skipping around. And the reason why I put that up there and tell you that I'm skipping around is I want you to go back tonight and read this psalm for yourself. Because some preachers, they jump around, they skip the important parts. And I want you to hold me accountable so you'll hold them accountable. Go back and read the whole thing for yourself. And it's a good chapter. This is Psalm 27. He says, I'm asking the Lord for only one thing. Here's what I want. I want to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's what we want for you, that you feel at home there and feel like that's where I want to be every day. I want to look at the beauty of the Lord. I want to worship him in his temple. My father and mother may walk away from me, but the Lord will accept me. Amen? That's beautiful, isn't it? Wherever you go, whatever you've done, it doesn't matter. You're always going to be accepted here, and you're always welcome at the Bridge. So that's my time. God bless you. We love you. You can applaud. Thank you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son.